can't do this, right? Living, that doesn't require just a little bit. That requires everything. That's your whole being, right? So before we start, I just want to read two sentences to you. This is in your excerpts. Most of us were born with no interest in people. That's kind of encouraging. At least we can all relate to that. We do not like people. We do not wish to be bothered by them, invited by them, or visited by them. We would rather live on top of a mountain. This is our natural tendency. So anyways, that's why I wanted to start this morning. Oh, man of God. We're not here in our natural tendency. We're here as man of God. I appreciated Minoru's word. Isn't that good? A man of God is one who possesses God and who is possessed by God. We're those who are partaking of the divine nature. Right? We have another life. And this life is a shepherding life. So the scripture reading here, we have John 21, Ephesians 5, and 1 Timothy 4:12. How about let's all read 1 Timothy 4:12. It's actually the last point on your outline. I2. Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word,
in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity.
Amen. So we like to focus on this little phrase, in love. Right? Even in our youth, we need to be a pattern to the believers in love. It's very good. We don't have the time to get into the verses in John 21, but I just wanted to give you three practical points. This is the Lord shepherding the disciples. And maybe you could read it on your time, that little portion in John 21. It's very encouraging. I just wanted to give you three points of how the Lord was a pattern to us as the one who shepherds. In John 21, you see that the Lord came to the disciples. They were in the sea of Tiberias, but he came to them. Right? They didn't come to where the Lord was. Then second, he prepared breakfast. He had food. Food is a wonderful thing to give people when you're shepherding them. And third, the Lord asked questions, but he also allowed the disciples response. There was a dialogue. The disciples were speaking. The Lord was speaking. There was not a message, but it was just a very wonderful, pleasant dialogue. So maybe as you're reading that, you could consider that. How about we, actually, I want to give you a little experience. When I was a sophomore in college, and I began to meet with the brothers, and I got touched concerning the matter of gospel preaching, and the Lord paired me. I had a companion. We began to pray. We began to go on the gospel. And for 3 months, we went on the gospel, and not a single person was open to us. We just got, no, or I'm a believer, and I already heard that. So we were just, oh, Lord, well, you know. But we just kept going out faithfully. So eventually, after 3 months, we got a person that was open. And he prayed. He got saved. And we were just elated. Hallelujah, someone got saved. And we walked away from that person. But I would say my thought was, he's the saved one, and I'm the gospel preacher, you know. And praise the Lord, I got someone saved. That was the extent of my thought. But there was an older brother who knew both of us, and we were going on the gospel. So when we came back to the union where all those brothers would gather together, he asked us to. He said, "So how was your time? How did it go?" And we said, "Well, someone received the Lord." And he said, "Do you know what that means?" And I thought, "I just told you got saved. You know, that's what it means, right?" You know. But he just the way he was, I knew that wasn't the answer, you know. And so we just said, "No." He said, "You're a parent." And I thought, didn't have that thought, you know. But it's true, right? Right? When we lead someone to the Lord, right? They become our spiritual children, right? We need to take care of them, you know. And spontaneously, I just had a love. Right. Well, actually, before that, we all went on the gospel, right, yesterday. How many people led someone to the Lord? So after you led the person to the Lord, did you feel cold and bitter toward them? You're just like, I'm through with you. Glad I can go on to someone else. What did you feel? You are full of love. You just, oh, what a wonderful person you are. Even there was, I heard one story, the sister that got saved, they just didn't want to leave. Just, oh, you can't leave. You have to stay with me. You have to be here, you know. Just pulling on their hearts. Just to encourage you, as we preach the gospel, as we lead others to the Lord, spontaneously we touch the Lord's life. The Lord has to flow through us into others. And when that life becomes so real to us, spontaneously we love, right? God is love. And this is the shepherding life. It's full of love. It is in love. Let's all read Roman numeral 1 together. The shepherding life. Right. So I want to underline the condition and atmosphere of love. In Acts 20:20, this is a good verse. If you want to have 20/20 vision for the shepherding life, right? You need to remember this verse. Paul says, I did not withhold any of those things that are profitable by not declaring them to you. And then he says, how did he declare them? Publicly and from house to house. This was quite a pattern. This is our endeavor, right? And then in 1 Corinthians 1:8-1b, we see knowledge puffs up, but love builds up.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah for love. We need to develop such a condition, an atmosphere of love for the ones that we're going to visit, the ones that we're, the Lord has given you one to take care of. Someone who's younger, someone who you've maybe led to the Lord. This one, we have to visit them and bring in a condition and atmosphere of love. Sisters, could you read A?
In shepherding the saints, what is needed is the intimate concern of a ministering life.
Right. And then, so the verses here are really good. In 2 Corinthians, I just want to point out a few of the phrases that Paul uses. This section is just, it's so touching. And so in verse 2, Paul says, make room for us. In verse 3, you are in our hearts.
Amen.
In verse 4, great is my boldness.
Amen.
And then, great is my boasting.
Amen.
And then, I overflow with joy.
Amen.
So much feeling here in the Apostle Paul. Then in verse 6, God comforted us with the coming of Titus. By the comfort, I'm not reading straight through, I'm kind of just skipping around. By the comfort with which he was comforted because of you. You see a very intimate concern, very sweet relationship that the apostle had. And then also in Philemon, maybe you could read those verses later. That epistle is so tender and sweet and intimate. Okay, so A1, how fruitful we are, how much fruit we bear, does not depend on what we are able to do. It depends on whether we have an intimate concern, right? So this intimate concern comes out of our contacting the Lord himself. The Lord is so concerned for man. He has such a heart for man. And as we touch him, this intimate concern gets infused into us. Then two, a ministering life is a life that warms up others.
Amen.
Aren't you happy when others warm you up?
Yeah.
Well, you also get very happy when you warm up others, right? If we would minister life to the saints, we must have a genuine concern for them. A concern that is emotional, deep, and intimate. You may want to underline those three words. Emotional, deep, and intimate. Very sweet. Brothers, you want to do B?
Love is the most excellent way for us to be anything and to do anything for the building up of the body of Christ.
Right. So then 1 Corinthians 12, does anyone know that verse? It says, I show you a more excellent way. All right. And then a few verses later, because that's the last verse of chapter 12. Then in 13:4, it says a long list. Love suffers long. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. And then in verse 13, it says, the greatest of these is love. It talks about three things, right? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? Praise the Lord for love.
Amen.
God is love.
Amen.
Okay, one. Because the church is a home, a hospital, and a school, we must be one with the Lord.
Amen.
To raise up, to heal, to recover, and to teach others in love. 1 Timothy 3:15, right? The church is the house of God. And then in Luke 10, I believe the brother shared this two days ago, right? About the Good Samaritan. He bound the wounds, right? And he brought him to the inn.
Amen.
Isn't it good to be in the hospital? We're all sick. We need to be in the hospital. And then in Colossians 3:16, does anyone still remember this from last year's college training? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. Psalms and hymns and spirituals. Singing with grace. Amen. We need to teach, admonish one another in love. Okay, the last point, two. We must spend what we have. I mean, this is a good point. We really see shepherding is our whole being. We must spend what we have, our possessions, and spend what we are, our being, for the sake of the ones under our care. You know, when I had that experience of that one being led to the Lord, as I look back, I realize I did have some of this experience, but I wasn't that conscious of it. I don't believe parents are that conscious that they're spending everything they have and their whole being, because they're just full of intimate concern, you know? They're full of just the interest of the other. They're not in their self-interest, you know? So they're just lost. They're just lost in caring for this one. And then, so this is a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 12:15. Actually, maybe we could turn to it. We'll all read that, and then Brother Marty will do Roman numeral 2. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, this session is on the shepherding life, ministering Christ to others in love. So we have to consider, you know, this whole week we're fellowshipping about becoming a man of God. And I enjoyed last night, Brother Bill reminded us again, and we heard this several times, what is a man of God? A man of God is one who partakes of the Lord's life and his nature. But there's an issue out of that. If you partake of the Lord's life and nature, something should happen, right? You should be a person who eventually is becoming one with God.
Amen.
And even like Monroe shared this morning, even you become God in his life and nature. So that the same way that God expresses, or God's life, or God's nature acts, you should begin to act and function in the same way. So you consider, actually the Bible says one thing about God's nature. God's nature is a nature of love, right? So if we're becoming a man of God, if we're enjoying God's life and nature, yet we don't love others, you can say, no, that's not true. That's not true. You must not be really partaking of God. Okay, because God's nature is love. And he doesn't just love you, he loves man. Right? He loves other people. And he has a concern for them. And he has a desire that other people would be saved. Right? And he has a desire, once they get saved, that they would be cared for. Right? So we always talk about there's two very simple ways to practice the Christian life and our serving life. First step is that we like to beget, have a life of begetting, right? Which means we go out like we did yesterday and we share the gospel. Okay, not only we need to go out cold, but sometimes you may have opportunity with someone close to you, a roommate, a classmate, a friend, a relative, someone, but you have an opportunity to share the gospel and minister Christ to them and beget them. So what Mike shared is true. You're begetting children. And so then automatically you become a parent, and any parent that begets children, the next step is nourishing, right? Or we use the word shepherding. So what should we do with the ones that we beget? We should take care of them. You know, once in a while in Chicago, we hear stories of someone who begot a little baby, and then they took them to the hospital and put their little carriage on the hospital steps and left, you know. It's a very sad story, you know, because you say that's not the purpose of begetting children, right? Begetting children should result in now you have to begin to parent those children. Okay, well, most parents would say, I don't know how to do this. Well, you just have to learn how to do it. Okay, so how do you do it? Well, most of us think I need a lot of skills. Okay, well, it helps to have some skill. Like yesterday, I really appreciated this week. We took a little time. How to present the gospel to someone. How to use the mystery of human life. How to go through the diagram and show people the steps the Lord went through. That's very helpful, right, to learn how to do that. And learn how to use the Bible. Right, to tell people, you know, the Bible says, he who has the Son has the life of God. Amen. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. Okay, and then ask them, do you have the Son? You know, the Bible says some have and some don't have. Do you have? You know, and if you say, I don't know if I have or not, well, maybe you should make sure. Right? And how do you do that? You need to do that by receiving. And, oh, there's this verse in John chapter 1, verse 12, says, as many as received him, to those he gives the authority to become the children of God. Anyway, it helps to have some, learn some verses and learn the diagrams and learn how to use the tracks, okay, to have some skills. But that's not the most important thing, okay? The most important thing is what we're talking about here this morning, is to have a condition, an atmosphere of love. Amen. And that's our real burden this morning. There's one thing called having the gift of the gospel. And there's another thing called having the spirit of the gospel. Okay? There's some in the past, some very great evangelists who had the gift of the gospel. You just couldn't explain it. They just had such an ability to preach the gospel and use the word and convict sinners. I was kidding with the brothers yesterday. They asked me how it went after our time. I said, well, we only had three people rolling on the ground crying, repenting of their sins. They said, oh, really? I said, no, just kidding. Anyway, some great evangelists have had a real gift in preaching the gospel and really have brought many, many people to the Lord, like D.L. Moody and like one that we're all familiar with, Billy Graham. Okay? But most of us, you can say, we weren't born that way or whatever. Somehow we don't have that gift. Okay? But Watchman Nee says every single believer should have the spirit of the gospel. And what is the spirit of the gospel? The spirit of the gospel means you love people and you care about them. Or you're concerned for them. You like to see other people get saved. Okay? You say, well, Mike just read that sentence says, because of our fallen nature, we just care about ourselves. That's true. Okay? So how do you get this spirit of the gospel? Well, we just have to be infused and partake more of the one who loves man.
Amen.
Right? The Bible says God so loves the world. Right? If we're partaking of him, not only will we be filled with the Lord's love to enjoy ourselves, but this love loves the world. It loves people. And is concerned for people and it cares about people. So, we should pray, Lord would give us the spirit of the gospel. You know, there's one very good biography. It's called Seen and Heard. It's about a man named James McKendrick. And he lived in the mining district in Scotland way back. And he was not gifted. Okay, in fact, you can read about Watchman Nee's testimony about this man. He said, this man shows that every believer can preach the gospel. Right? Because this brother was not that gifted. But one thing he had was the spirit of the gospel. So one time, maybe Andrew could come up here a second. One time, right after he got saved, you know, there was this old minister in the village who was the preacher, and he was always preaching. And right after James McKendrick got saved, he went to this meeting, and this old preacher brother was preaching, and he was speaking accurately, he was speaking the Bible, but it's like there was not much spirit of the gospel there. And James just got saved, and he was sitting close by him, and James was just burning inside of him, and he just started going like this, you know. And the preacher's, you know, just leave me alone, will you? I'm preaching. You know? And then he let him go on for a little while. He's trying to be polite. He was a young brother, but he just feel like, oh, these people got to get saved. And he pulled on his shoulder. Finally, this brother said, What do you want?
What do you want?
He said, Let me try. So the old preacher said, okay, now James McKendrick will address you. Okay, and as soon as he said that, his mind just went completely blank. He didn't know what to say, but he was still burning inside. And he just started weeping, you know, for the people in the congregation there to be saved. And when he wept like that, all of a sudden, so many people in the congregation also started weeping and repented and turned to the Lord and got saved. You know, he didn't know what to say, right? He was a new believer. Did he have a whole lot of skill or a whole lot of gift? He didn't. He didn't have the best utterance. He didn't know the Bible inside out, right? But what did he have? He had a heart full of love for the people around him. And he wanted to see them get saved. Okay, so today I like to bring to your attention two more verses about our heart. Okay, Monroe shared this morning all about the heart. I got two more for you. Okay, how about you look it up quickly. 2 Corinthians 6:11. Okay, maybe the first one get it. Could you stand and read it very loudly for us? 2 Corinthians 6:11. No. 2 Corinthians 6:11. Okay. Here's Apostle Paul. He said one thing. What is it? Our mouth is opened to you. And what about his heart?
Enlarged.
Okay? Now, look at the very next verse, 12. It says, it shows that the believers have a problem, but you are what? Constricted. So you got The apostle's heart was open. It was enlarged. Okay? But the believer's heart was constricted. Constricted means, you know, really tight, narrow, right? Pulled in. Okay? If you look at the footnote, it says the believers were childish. Their hearts were constricted, contracted in their inward parts. They were very narrow in their affection. Right? But the apostle's heart was enlarged. If you look at the footnote there, it says, with an enlarged heart, they were able to embrace all believers regardless of their condition. Okay? So, sometimes, you know, I've served a number of years with the junior high kids in the summer school of truth. You know, one big problem we have with church kids, junior high kids in the church life, is what we call cliques. Okay? Little cliques. You know what that means? It's we got our friends already. We don't need any more. Right? It's like you get a new one. We are praying, oh, Lord, give us new ones. Add new ones to the church. And then all of a sudden, we get some new kids come to the junior high or the high school summer school of truth, and we find out they're open, but our own kids are not open to them. Okay? So what's the problem? They're constricted. Okay? Well, you can't condemn them. They're just little kids. They're just junior high, right? So we try to help them. Hey, open up a little bit. Try and make some friends. Okay? There's one very good verse in the book of Proverbs. You know what the book of Proverbs says? He who desires to have friends must show himself friendly. Okay? So I don't know if you ever thought about this. If you're having some trouble making friends, maybe you're not too friendly. Okay? So Mike was going to do something here. Watch this. Here, Mike. He's going to introduce me to a friend. Just pick one of the brothers. Yeah, quickly. Let's see. I got to write my text here.
I'd like to
what?
Ben here. I'd like to introduce you to him.
Oh, okay.
You can meet him.
What's his name?
Ben. Yeah,
oh, hey.
Ben.
Hey, Ben. How's it going? Okay. Hey, Mike, I've been meaning to talk to you. You know?
So Ben is from nearby. He just came to the meeting.
Hey, where are you from?
Iowa.
I went there once, yeah. Nice to meet you. I'll see you. Okay. So you can say... Sometimes why we don't have more friends. We're just not very friendly. And we're occupied. And, you know, okay, here's another good verse for you on the heart. Actually, you just keep going down 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay? Verse 2. Just the first four words. Make room for... Okay, everybody got it? Let's read it again.
Make room for us.
Okay, need to make room. Make room for us. Okay? So sometimes, you know, you think, I'm going to have somebody over for dinner, and they, all of a sudden they call you and want to bring a friend. Oh, I don't know, you know. You got to make room. Okay? We need to be enlarged, you know. So this is an exercise. Okay, now, here's one more out of Psalms. Who's got Psalms 119? Maybe the first one to get it. Psalm 119, verse 32. It's chapter 119, verse 32. Okay, read the last part again. Okay, so if you got a constricted, narrow heart, you got heart disease. Okay, how can, spiritually you got heart disease? We're born with heart disease. Okay, so who can enlarge our heart? Okay, the Lord said in Psalm 119, you are able, you can enlarge my heart. Okay, there's another little saying. Let's say these three brothers. Could these three brothers come up here? I heard this once. Okay, put your arms around each other. Let's all repeat. We four and no more.
We four and no more.
It's like we're good friends. We're good buddies. We're good brothers. We live together. We enjoy the Lord together. Everything. We love each other. We care for each other. We shepherd each other. We have an intimate concern. We pray for each other. We are the brothers. Okay, but we four and no more. That's a, okay. All right. So I think you get the idea that Lord cannot have a way to enlarge his testimony to gain more sheep in the flock. If we're like that, if we feel like, I've had this experience myself. You know what? You're in the church life for a while, you have many friends, okay? I've been in the church life a long time. I have so many brothers that I'm very close to and care for me, and I care for them, and I'm very satisfied. I love the church life. You know, it's a wonderful place, you know? But the only one problem is you can be so satisfied in the church life and have so many enjoyable companionships in the church life that eventually you don't need any friends. I personally, really honestly, I don't need any friends. Right? I got a lot of friends. I'm not short of friends. Okay? But if that's the way I stay, the Lord can never have a way to enlarge. Okay, you think about some of the brothers. I appreciate some of the brothers here. You know why they're only here for a couple days? Because they got to go other places. Okay, Bill Lawson left this morning. He's going to Russia. Okay? Okay, I think about it sometimes. Some of the brothers have a very intimate concern for so many places and so many people, so many saints, so many churches. How can you do that? It's because their hearts are enlarged. Okay, so, all right, just quickly, we're running out of time here. I'd like to go down a few things here. Who can shepherd? Okay, I guess you all know that answer, right? But I think you might agree mentally, but you don't agree. Most of the time in your actions and in your real daily life, okay? You think about who can shepherd. The elders can shepherd. That's their job. They're supposed to oversee the flock, right? They are the shepherds, okay? Manuel can shepherd, you know. Many of the older brothers can shepherd. Okay, but a lot of times you stop there and you think, but not me. I can't shepherd. I need to be shepherded. Right? I'm just a sheep. I'm just a little lamb. Please shepherd me. Okay, well, yes, we all need to be shepherded. Actually, even the older brothers need to be shepherded. Right? Look at Peter back there. You think he doesn't need to be shepherded? You know? He shepherds a lot, but he still needs to be shepherded. I need to be shepherded.
Amen.
Right? But we also need to shepherd. Okay, so like to tell you a couple examples. First of all, I have two little granddaughters. Okay, one is 6, one is 3. Okay, it's so sweet to me to watch them. Okay, I get to sometimes the littlest one, two or 3 year old, sometimes she'll fall down or do something, you know, start crying. Guess who shepherds her? Okay, you say her mom does, her dad does. Yeah, they do. Her grandpa does once in a while when I see them. Okay, but you know who shepherds her a lot? Her big sister. She's only 6 years old. I've seen her just go over. Oh, Zoe, you'll be okay. You'll be okay, Zoe. Yeah. So you can say, You better talk to that little girl. And she, no, she's not the mom. You can't do that. No. She can care at a young age. Begin to show care. Actually, this word here. Genuine concern involves emotion. You should be emotional. Sometimes we think about, oh, no, don't be emotional. We brothers don't like to be emotional. Right? But actually, sometimes, you know, it's not bad. Like Minoru asked this morning, have you ever cried for the Lord, for the Lord's interest? Have you ever cried for another brother or sister? Right? So we should be a little bit emotional. We have a genuine concern. Right? If a brother, if I'm used to taking care of Jude, and we get together week after week, month after month, year after year, you know, and then all of a sudden he just disappears, you know, and I ask, what happened to Jude? Oh, he went to the world. Oh well. You know, let's go on to somebody else. There's more people in the world, right? No, we should have a concern, right, for each other. And how many of you even grew up in the church life? How many of you have companions who grew up in the church life who are not going on in the Lord? Right? You care? Do you care? You can say, well, that's the young people serving ones. They're supposed to care for them. That's their fault. That's why they're not here. You know? Or it's their parents. Their parents must not have done a good job. You know? Well, you can point your finger, but how about if you're really open before the Lord, maybe you yourself might be touched. How about you? Do you pray for them? Do you ever go visit them? You know, do you care for them? So sometimes I look back at some of the pictures that we took at camp with the young people, and actually sometimes I feel led to tears myself, thinking, oh, my goodness, where is this one? Where is that one? You know, that was 10, 15 years ago. Where are they today? Okay, so who can shepherd? You can shepherd. Okay, when I first came to the church life, I was brand new. I bet I wasn't in the church 1 week. And I went to this young people's meeting one night, and there was only like 15 saints. That was, you know, in the beginning of the church life where we were. And, you know, I was sitting in a little small group. And his sister, I was 20 years old, and his sister was about 30, and she was kind of shepherding the little group there. And we had a couple of brand new ones. I mean, I was brand new, but a couple of brand new ones that just came that night, okay? And they were there, and we're just going around. She was sharing with them and all this, and all of a sudden she turns to me. She says, hey, Marty, you share with them. I thought, me? I just got here. I don't know what to say. She says, no, go on, just tell them what you enjoy. And actually, I did have a little something. Okay, so I was there 1 week in the church life, and I began to exercise. So who can shepherd? You can shepherd.
Amen.
Sometimes you make an excuse. I'm not an elder. I'm not a full-timer. I'm not a serving one. I'm not an older brother. I'm not an older sister. I can't do it. I'm not older saints in the home. This is where we need to shake each other. Do you have the divine life?
Amen.
Do you have the divine nature?
Amen.
You have God living in you.
Amen.
You are able.
Amen.
Okay? You might not know the right verses. Neither did that brother who stood up and all he did was cry. It might be good. You go over to your friend's house. You don't know what to say. You don't. Maybe you yourself don't know that many verses. You didn't memorize them when you were supposed to. But all you can do, you go over there and you just go over their house and you cry. You tell me you don't think they would be touched? They would definitely be touched. If you have prayed for them and you care for them and you don't know what to say, you just cry. Okay? So, who can shepherd? You can. Then, another who. Who to shepherd? You know, well, like Mike said this morning, you leave someone to the Lord, they're yours. They're your offspring. They're your fruit. They're your sheep. Should shepherd them. Okay? Who else? Your companions. Okay? Who can honestly say, think about it, here this morning, think about it for a second. Do you know any brother or sister who's either younger than you or not doing as well as you or not going on with the Lord or, you know, you haven't seen for a little while or, you know, is going through something or you have some concern for? You know anybody like that? I think all of us know somebody like that, okay? So we all know ones to shepherd. We all know who we can shepherd. Okay, then, when should you start shepherding? Okay, I think we already went over that. That's clear. Now is the time. Okay, now here's, this one is a little bit more, and I'll try and finish this quickly so we can, y'all can share something. How can we shepherd? Okay. We have to, you can say, well, we have to be infused with the Lord's life. Only the Lord's life can love other people and all that. That's true, but sometimes we use that as an excuse. Oh, I'm not that growing that much. I'm not that infused, so I guess I don't have that much life and love, so I guess I can't do it. You say, that's an excuse. Okay? Yes, you need to be infused, and we need to enjoy Christ and enjoy the riches of Christ. But also, you can say, yeah, we need to take the way of life to be infused, but we also need to take the way of exercise or cultivate. We need to cultivate our heart. We need to deal with the Lord, tell the Lord, sorry, Lord, not only my heart is deceitful, it's closed. It's closed to people. Sorry, Lord, I just care so much about myself, even spiritually, how I'm doing. Right, how I'm growing, how I'm going on. I don't care about my brother next to me, the sister next to me, how she's doing. Right, Lord, forgive me for having such a constricted heart, narrow heart. Open, enlarge my heart for others. Okay, so we need to exercise to cultivate our heart. And then another quick thing is that we need to show interest. Okay? Show interest. So like when Mike introducing me to the brother, see, I don't even remember his name, see? Ben. Okay? We need to show interest. Actually, I had brothers come visit, take hospitality at my house a couple times. I was so impressed the way they took interest in my children. Okay? And not just casually, oh, these are your kids, Marty. Oh, hey, how you doing? You know, what's going on? You know, but no, it's like, what are you doing? What's your interest? Where are you at? Are you in school? Are you working? What's going on? You know, find out about them, and not just in a superficial way, but in a real, genuine, take interest in people. Okay? And sometimes we get shined on. I get shined on. You could care less about that person. Okay, so we need to be enlarged and learn how to take interest. And then just a couple other just simple, very simple exercise is that we need to listen and speak. Okay, we need to listen to other people. We're so occupied with ourselves and with our own things. You know, Paul told Timothy in Philippians, all seek their own things, none the things of the Lord. What are the things of the Lord? Our people, right? So we need to get to listen to others, see where they're at, what's going on in their life, what's happening. How can we pray for them and maybe pray with them? Okay? And another very good exercise is to learn to speak to others, okay? Maybe you can't preach the gospel to everybody, but it's good to greet people and to become friendly. You know, it's not a training in assertiveness, training on how to be an extrovert. No, but it's just learning how to be friendly. Smile at people and greet them and say, hey, how's it going? What's going on? You know, it's pretty hot out there today, isn't it? You know, and open your mouth, right? Talk to people, okay? So, anyway, we'll stop here and maybe you could have some response.